Here we are at Module 4 with a very scientific title, More Stuff That Works. So this takes us into coping territory. See, stress comes from a mismatch between environmental demands and our perceived resources for dealing with those environmental demands. So if we increase our perceived resources or reduce our environmental demands, we should be less stressed. And that takes us into coping territory. So I can tell you straight out that the best coping strategy for dealing with stress is not avoidance. But this is the one that a lot of us like to use. I like to call this one the ostrich technique. See, ostriches have this crazy idea that if they put their head in the sand and they can't see you, then you can't see them either. And that's how a lot of people deal with stress. If I don't look at it, it doesn't exist. I would love it if this actually worked, but as I said earlier, it's possibly the worst strategy you could use. So some people's head in the sand is alcohol. I'll hide my head in this bottle of wine and all my stress will disappear. When was the last time you tried that and it actually worked? You can't actually stay drunk forever, although I'm sure some of us have tried. Other people's head in the sand is denial. You know, it's not that bad, I'll just put on my happy face and it will all be fine. Optimism is a fabulous coping strategy, and I guess there is an element of optimism in this, but when you deny what is actually happening, it's way more stressful. So don't forget your subconscious mind is still working overtime on your stress behind the scenes, which means your body is still being triggered into the fight or flight response. And if you're in denial, then you're not doing anything to address the source of the stress. So this leaves you feeling more out of control, which increases your stress. Also, if you tell yourself not to think about the problem, you're more likely to think about it anyway. There's a lot of research on thought suppression that says the more you suppress your thoughts, the more you think about them. So just try this now. Try not to think of a pink polar bear. So what was the first thing you thought about? Yep, just as I suspected, a pink polar bear. So that is thought suppression failure in action. So what kinds of coping work? Well, first of all, we can change the way we look at our stress-inducing situations. So this changes our perception of the stressful situation, making it much less scary. So we can do this by looking for the hope, like we did in Module 2. We can reframe the problem. So this means we look at things as more of a challenge or as something we can learn from. So let's just say we get stressed about the slow week at work. We could reframe that and then see it as an opportunity to take care of those foundational tasks that could make us more money in the future, rather than stressing about the lack of income that we're getting. We can also break the stressful situation into manageable bits, and there is an exercise that'll follow, so we'll look at how you can do that. But what that does is it looks at looking at the problem less like a gargantuan problem with lots of different elements to it, and just putting them into a series of small monsters to slay, much easier. And my favorite on this one, we can try to see the funny side of the problem. Laughter works amazingly for reducing your stress, and looking for the funny side of a stressful situation puts it in perspective a whole lot better. So we can also find different ways to manage the stressful situation. So this changes our perception of our ability to cope with the stressful situation and builds our perceived resources. So we're kind of attacking this in a two-pronged approach. So we're trying to find ways to deal with the cause of the problem with this. So we might do some research to get a better handle on what's happening. So for example, if our stress is from a drop in income, we might research what our competitors are doing that's working. We might look at how we could reduce our expenses or what we might be able to introduce to bring in extra money. Another way we could do this is learn some new skills to help us deal with the problem. So we might learn some new marketing strategies or enroll in some courses that upskill us that are going to help us bring in more income for that slow week at work. The third way is we can look for enriching or meaningful elements in the stressful situation. So this changes our perceived ability to cope. So we've pretty much looked at those now, our perceived ability to cope, and dealing with the source of the problem and dealing with our perception of the problem. So in this one, it's a really great way to do it because it uses lots of positive psychology principles. So we might look for the small pleasures available to us even if our life seems to be falling apart around our ears. In a way, that kind of incorporates a whole heap of positive psychology things like gratitude, looking for the silver lining, a whole heap of things that you'll be able to find in my happiness course. We might also reevaluate our whole situation based on what's really happening to us and change things to be more in line with our values. So when we're looking at with things with our values, we might realize that things like family and free time are actually more important to us. And rather than getting caught up in these really stressful things or worrying about these particular things that we're worrying about, we might focus more on those things that are important. And we might even reassess and change our goals if they're the things that are actually making us too stressed. So I've put an exercise for using these principles on page 15 of your workbook. So one of the ways that really works in terms of reducing your stress is becoming a control freak. So who would have thought being a control freak would be good for your stress? But strangely, it really is. Not in the way that you imagine, though. Quite often our stress will come from feeling our situation or our life is out of our control. The feelings of helplessness and powerlessness that come from feeling out of control are some of the most stressful feelings of all. So any situation, no matter how bad it is more tolerable and less stressful if you feel you can do something about it. Sometimes we have to dig deep to find something that feels controllable, and sometimes the only thing we can control is ourselves. There are a few different ways of getting that in control feeling back again. So the first one is what I like to call today, tomorrow, later, dude. Quite often when we're stressed, we tend to lump everything in together. And this is because our brains like to make connections between things. And our brains also like to look for all the other stressful things and things to be scared of when we're already stressed. So that's all in module one if you want to go back and either listen to that or read that again. So it goes a little bit like this. Okay, so I have to move house and there are all these bills that have come in, which reminds me that I still have to pay for Jane's school camp trip. She'll be so disappointed if I forget. It's so hard being a mother and working like this. Oh, and I have that client project that I really need to finish. Honestly, I feel like I need to be Superwoman just to get everything done. Which reminds me, I promised to help Felix with his new kitten that he called Superwoman. What was he thinking? He can't seem to toilet train it. And on it goes. So one thing leads to another, to another, to another, and sometimes those associations can be pretty loose, but it all just piles up to make this huge stressful life for us. So this becomes a never-ending spiral of stress. It all goes around and around in our brain, usually with none of it being resolved. And all that adds up to capital stress for us because it starts to feel out of control. So enter control freak. One deliciously simple way of getting control over this spiral of stress is to break it down into smaller, more manageable tasks. So this is basically what you do. You take a sheet of paper, you turn it sideways, divide it into three columns. I've actually done this for you on page 17 of your workbook. Add the headings today or this week, tomorrow or next week or next month, and then later, dude, or just later if you don't want to be a dork. So start to organize your tasks into the columns. So the most important, most pressing go in the first column. Tasks that can wait but still need doing in the near future go in the next column. And stuff that can wait goes in the last column. So don't fret and stress. You will get to the last column when you need to. There's no point in stressing about this stuff now when it doesn't have to be attended to until later. And the great thing is when you've got it written down, you know that you're going to get to it later and you can put it out of your mind. So what you want to do is go through the first column and look what you can get control over. Then do what you can get control over. There's nothing like a bit of action to cure fear, which is basically what stress kind of does to you. So here's an example. So let's just say it's Monday morning. You're looking at everything happening for the week. You have that presentation to prepare. You have your marketing budget to assess. You have that dinner to prepare for your boss's your partner's boss on Friday night, you have reports to write, you have your personal life to organise for the weekend, you have your kids' football final or dance recital on Saturday, you really want to clear out the garage, you want to research where you're going on your next holiday because you feel like you need something to look forward to. That's a great thing to do, especially for managing stress. You have those website changes you've been wanting to make forever, and you know you should be on LinkedIn creating more connections. So, you're starting to feel a bit overwhelmed. This week did not look this bad only a moment ago. If you start to sort everything into today, tomorrow, and later, then you will start to feel a little less stressed and a little more in control. So let's take a look at that list again. When is that presentation? In 2 days' time? Then there's a good chance that it needs to go in today. A bit of time on it today means you're more prepared and less stressed tomorrow. So when is the marketing budget due? Next week? Then it could go into tomorrow with the option to shift it to later if tomorrow turns out to have other priorities. Or you can stick it straight in later and save the stress for now. The dinner? That's not till Friday. That's a definite later. Reports? What really needs to be done today? Break them down. So the report for this thing needs to go out this afternoon, but the one for that thing is not due till Wednesday, so it can go in tomorrow. Anyway, I think you've got the picture now. There'll be another stress-relieving tool shortly that will help you prioritise your today list. But I guess the most important thing too is really find the things that you can get control over and do them. The best cure for stress is taking action. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to exhaust the control freak. So sometimes it can be hard to know what you can get control over. If we're feeling super stressed, it can be easy to think we can't get control over anything, but maybe it's just a matter of exhausting the control freak. So I'll give you an example. So part of your stress is because you drive to work in peak hour traffic and it takes you a really, really long time. You know you would be more productive at work and a lot less stressed if you didn't have to do the drive. You start to think about how you could get control of this stressor. So you brainstorm some ideas. You could change jobs, but that doesn't feel like an option at the moment. Aha! Could ask your boss if you could arrive an hour late and leave an hour early, thereby missing the traffic. Your boss says no. You ask if you can work from home 2 days a week. The drive won't be so bad if you're only doing it a few days a week instead of five. Your boss says no. You could carpool and reduce the stress of driving all that way all alone. No one lives near you. So far, you've tried to control the external world and come up against some challenges, but you still haven't exhausted your control freak yet. You can still get control of your inner world. It goes a little bit like this. You could use this time to do a whole heap of things. You could practice your mindfulness while driving. You could use this time for personal development, listening to your favorite inspirational people as you drive. You can catch up on some reading. No, not book reading, especially not driving. I mean recorded books. Or maybe you can catch up on your phone calls before you get to work. Don't get caught doing the dialing and texting thing. Just all legal stuff, please. A fine and a loss of points is probably going to bring you a whole lot of stress. But you've got the picture anyway. You just keep going like that until you have exhausted every option and gained control over something in the situation. Some control is better than no control, especially for your stress levels. So pick a stressful situation or problem that you've had or that you currently have and see if you can exhaust every avenue you have gaining control. There's some room to record it on page 17 of your workbook. So that's given us quite a few things to practice for this week, so I'm going to leave it there. Keep working on breaking things down, enlisting the control freak, and employing different coping strategies to any stressful situations that arise through the week. Otherwise, apply them to any long-standing stresses you might have. The more you practice this, the better you'll be at it, and the more natural it will be to reach for one of those strategies when a stressor knocks you off your perch. See you for Module 5.